Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for your time and attention. And thanks for the business. And as a friend of mine says, when he talks to his customers, he says, thanks for the food. My website is jbsba.com, www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, it comes on Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead. I think you'll like it. If you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. Bill Dunkelberg is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. William Dunkelberg is the chief economist with the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. He's also a professor of economics at Temple University and a former department head, former dean, I should say, of that whole business and economics college over there at Temple. He's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back, and happy holidays.
Thank you.
What I want to do first, let's go ahead and talk about your survey first, and then later in our visit, I want to either we can set aside some time or we can blend it in if you want to. Some of the today's the day that the Fed is going to meet, the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee is going to meet to decide about what to do about interest rates. So I want to make sure that we talk about that.
That's a fait accompli, right? We know what they're going to do.
Well, I'm going to let you tell us about that. But I want to hold that in suspense just a little bit, Bill, because everybody doesn't know what you know. See, you're part of the in crowd, and we're not. And so I only have my opinions, but I think you know what's going on. What about the report? You guys set some records this month, didn't you?
Well, this was a pretty impressive month. The small business optimism jumped up almost 4 points. The index jumped up almost 4 points, which is almost unheard of. That's a huge move, since that's a composite of 10 questions. It takes an average of a 4-point gain on every question to get the index up over 10.
Wow, that's the optimism.
So that's really good. Yeah, so we're sitting at 107.7. The last time the index was at that level was at the record, and that was in 1983.
So wow.
The November index ties the 30-year record high of 107.
So this is even higher than in the late 90s when people suspended the laws of economics?
Yes, indeed.
Wow. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, our small business people didn't suspend quite like everybody else did.
No, that's exactly right.
We were insane. We were a little insane, but we weren't as insane as the rest of the world.
Well, we might be optimistic, but we didn't lose our head because we all know we knew where forth from whence our cash flow was coming, and we knew our cash flow wasn't going to come from eyeballs. Somebody had to buy something.
That's right. So so we didn't go quite so crazy back in those days. The index was high in those days.
But, right.
And then, so we set inside of that a couple of the components. We set new record. We set a new record in terms of the average number of employees added per firm. Almost a half an employee, a little over a half an employee per firm on average was added to the job pool. That was very good. We set a new record. 29% of the owners said that now is a good time to expand their business. That was good. And we set a new record for plans to increase inventories.
Wow.
So we had a couple of good numbers in there.
Well, that's all this bodes very well for 2005, doesn't it?
I would think so. We have a model that we plug in this index into to predict GDP growth, and that would make us quite optimistic in terms of the forecast for GDP growth. I tried to show that optimism in one of the people in the Business Week's panel, which came out sometime this week, I think, or next mm-hmm. last. Or anyway, I tried to reflect that optimism in my forecast there. I'm sure we'll be a little on the high side compared to other forecasters, but this is what the small business owners are telling us. And after all, we do produce half the private sector GDP.
Absolutely.
We can make a lot of it happen. We can't make the rest of the big guys go with us, but if they cooperate, that'd be a pretty good 2005.
Well, exactly. And the thing about it is what single thing could be better for the United States and the world, really, than for America's small business owners to be optimistic about the coming year. Because, Bill, as you know what I say, what's good for small business is good for the world.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and I know that sometimes when I say that, Bill, people think, yeah, you know, we know you're just trying to, you're blowing smoke on us, you're just trying to rev us up. But you know what, Bill? I really believe that, literally.
I think it's true also. I mean, that's where all the action is. Remember, all the big firms of today were small firms of yesterday. We account for a huge part of the innovation that happens. In two terms. In one sense, we do it because we are inventors and find new processes. And if you look at patents, a huge number of patents mm-hmm. come from what you characterize as small firms. And the other thing, of course, is we're always innovating on finding ways to serve our customers better. So
right.
We're always trying new things. This is the R&D of the economy. If we have a
right.
better idea, we start it up, we make money. Great, we
stand
and people copy us, and if we don't, we try something else.
Hold that thought. Quick break, folks. 20 till. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. William Dunkelberg is our guest. He's the chief economist with the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB. He's also professor of economics at the School of Business and Management at Temple University, formerly the dean of that whole operation over there. And he's our good friend. Bill, now I want to remind the audience a little bit about this survey. You've been doing this now since the early 70s. And, I mean, I don't know, is there an older consecutive survey of small businesses in the world?
I'm sure there's nothing even close.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Right.
I wouldn't think so. And so
the survey went out in October of 1973.
Right. So, folks, this is in terms of credibility, in terms of it being a serious report, this is it for small business.
And that's it. We have a lot of pretty pictures now with 30 years of data.
I know you do, and I'm still urging you to get the book out. But let's talk. But when you poll your small businesses every month, you go out to several hundred all across the country, don't you?
Yeah, we mail to about 2,000 in the so-called off months. In the first month of every quarter, we mail to about 8,000, which were randomly selected from NFIB's 600,000 members.
Right.
And we pick up about 20 to 25% of those. And then in the subsequent 2 months, we have two smaller surveys just to kind of keep up with trends that might
right.
be changing quickly. So then we mail to a smaller number. So we have, 1,500 responses in the first month, and then two 500s, and then another 1,500, and that's the way we do it.
So the optimism was tied with a record. The added employees, you said...
That was impressive to me. Which,
tell us about that.
Well, I said, again, it's inconsistent with the November payroll report of 112,000.
Right.
But so is the GDP report. I mean, we can't be growing 4% real GDP and not hiring anybody,
mm-hmm.
especially in the service sector. Now, when the payroll survey said 112,000 new people, the household survey said 484,000 new jobs. Now, I tend to, although that's a stunningly big number, it's certainly consistent with our numbers and the GDP growth and so on. So I still think there's a problem with that payroll survey. The household survey says there's lots of employment and it's growing. And, of course, if it is, it's our small businesses that are getting the job done.
Right. And, you mentioned innovation a minute ago. One of the numbers I've seen that I think comes out of the SBA is that small businesses create 55% of the innovations in America.
Yeah, some nice number like that,
Yeah.
You have to look at that and you go, wow, that's impressive.
Right. Well, now, so if hiring is up, then that's got to, not only is optimism up, because small business owners don't, we might let our hiring decisions be influenced by optimism, but we don't make them based on optimism. We make them based on real financial numbers. And so that means to me that profits must be up a little bit. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. The profit number was unchanged from the October survey, but it was one of the best in history. So we still have, and our profit number is not an absolute level of profits. The question we ask is, are your profits growing or shrinking? Is it getting better or worse? So we're getting a very, near record high number of firms telling us their profits are improving. which is, of course, a very good sign. And also expected sales are very strong, and actual sales quarter over quarter for the last two quarters have been improving again. So the trends are all very, very good, and that's what we're hiring on. So we're getting ready for what our small business owners think will be an even better fourth quarter and first quarter.
Right. Have small businesses benefited from the devaluation of the dollar, Bill?
You know, that's hard to say. On balance, you know, on the import side, of course, imports are getting more expensive. So if you're an entrepreneur and you have a nice little wine and spirit shop, you know, you're really complaining about the cost of imported wine because
right.
the euro's gone from 80 cents in 2000, 82 cents in 2000 to $1.35. You know, so you've noticed and you complain. If you're selling Japanese toys, you haven't noticed because Chinese toys, sorry, that's 90% of our toys.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese tie their currency to the dollar, so
right.
prices don't change, so you haven't noticed that, so Walmart's happy that that hasn't changed, I guess. And if you, on the other hand, if you happen to be one of the few small businesses that exports, because not many of us do export,
right?
For the 5% of us do, then you're happy campers because the cheaper dollar means it's easier to compete on a global basis, and you can get more customers.
Right. Well,
that's a mixed bag, isn't it?
No, well, no, it's very, very well done, though. It helps us to understand that a good bit. Okay, let's talk about the credit markets. Let's get started on that. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's skip this credit for just a minute. Let's do that in the next segment. We'll tie in our FedWatch show into that. Talk to us about capital spending. What do they tell you about capital spending?
Well, the percentage of our firms that reported that they actually made outlays over the past 6 months was unchanged from the October survey, 64%. So you can kind of think of it as two-thirds of our people are actually making capital outlays. And that's a pretty good number historically. It's not as high as it's been, but it's in the upper third of the reading. So we're doing a nice, solid job of making capital outlays. Plans to make capital outlays over the next 3 months fell 3 or 4 points. Not to a bad number, but just to kind of a middling number. And I think the message is we've been making capital expenditures at a good pace all year, and there's certainly no rush to the door to worry about this. So the expiring tax credits that we hear so much about.
Right.
Again, we don't buy new equipment unless we need it, even if we can get a discount on it, which is what a tax break is.
Right.
So, you know, nothing exciting is happening there. So it's not going crazy. And that's probably okay, so we don't see a problem there.
Well, I think that the reason why it's sort of leveled off a little bit is because the tax deductions, the direct expensing, was extended through 2006 or 7, I think. And therefore there's no big rush because I predicted if they had not extended it, that it might have caused a little bit of a capital spending rush, which is not materializing now. It's almost 10 till. We're going to be right back with our good friend, Dr. William Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. We're going to talk about credit markets and the Fed. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Dunkelberg, give us your website, please.
My website. Well, you can get the report at smallbiz, that's B-U-S, smallbus.org. And, of
right.
course, you can also get it at nfib.com/research.
Right.
Or we can get it on your website.
Exactly. It's on the homepage of my website under the surveys link there on the front page. So check that out when you get a chance. It's like the Chicken Man, folks. It's everywhere. And good job again this month, Bill. We appreciate the extra effort that you put into this thing every month. It's a very important report that you make available to us, and we appreciate it. Let's talk about credit markets and weave our FedWatch discussion into this. Today is the day that the Federal Open Market Committee meets to decide about what's going to happen with credit. Now, before we talk about what you think the Fed's going to do, what did your small business respondent say about credit?
Well, they're very happy about credit. They think that there's no real problem here. One of the questions we ask is kind of our measure of how tight is monetary policy. And the question is, last time you got a loan, was it easier or harder than the time before? So it's kind of our groveling index, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been unchanged at 3%. 4% said harder, 1% said easier. and the net of that is, of course, 3, and that's historically low when you compare it to, I think, 36% said harder when Volcker was appointed.
Right.
So just to get a little perspective on the where that number goes. So we've, the 90s have really been, and into 2000 have been really the friendliest capital markets we've seen in the history of our surveys.
And we can thank, among others, Mr. Alan Greenspan for that, can't we?
Mr. Volcker and Mr. Greenspan, hey, that was a great tag team play. I want to tell you that.
That was bad cop, good cop, wasn't it, Bill?
Yeah. Now, the interest rates, of course, are easing up. That is, we saw the average interest rate paid on short-term money, which means, you know, the prime rate tied to prime and so on, went up about 40 basis points to 6.8%. That bops around a little bit, but so obviously we expect the interest rates on the short term end to keep going up. But notice that long term interest rates haven't really budged very much, and that's the important one.
Right, exactly. And that, what does that say about with short terms going up, but long terms not moving much? What does that say about the attitudes about the future of the economy?
Well, what it says is investors still have two things. One, it says investors have confidence that inflation is still going to be kept under control, so we can afford to lend long-term without a lot of inflation protection. There's only a couple points in there. And, of course, the other thing that's helping a little bit is that the demand for our treasuries is very strong, so that keeps the price high and then the interest rate low. 65% of the last offering, treasury offering, was bought by foreigners.
Wow.
So that helps. Obviously, if the rest of the world weren't helping us to finance all of our capital needs, interest rates would be much higher.
Mm-hmm. So the short-term rates that the Fed charges banks is 2% right now, right?
Right.
The Fed funds rate.
Coming up.
And you think it's going to go up a quarter today?
Right. And the next meeting and the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
Especially given the strength of the economy. The economy is very strong, so there's no reason why the Fed shouldn't stay on course with this so-called measured to me, I translate simply as a quarter point every time until they get where they want to get, which is at least 1 point away from where we are today.
They need to be somewhere above the inflation rate, don't they?
Right.
And because right now they're upside down, aren't they?
Right. Still a little bit negative, probably. If you look at the core inflation rate, you know, we're getting close to a wash here. But they ought to be, you know, a point above the inflation rate, the core inflation rate, not the one that includes the...
What is the core inflation rate right now?
It's around 2%.
Okay. So we're on par, the interest rates are on par with the core inflation rate.
Yeah. So we're right around, you know, we're right around even now. And the way we look at that is simply, you know, what does it cost you to borrow? Well, the reason we use the inflation rate is if you have inventory and it's appreciating at 2% a year, and you've borrowed money to finance it at 2%, then, of course, it's a wash. That means money's free.
Right.
So that's kind of the simple logic of the whole thing. Obviously, none of us borrow from the Federal Reserve at 2% for overnight money, but that's the basic view we have about interest rates.
Right. What about inflation? Where do you see it going? And I got about 20 seconds.
Inflation, it looks really good. The percentage of our firms raising prices continued to ease down, so I would say inflation will be double where it was in 2003 for this year, so we'll look at 4% for the year. Next year, there's no real reason for it to go anywhere much, so we ought to see it stay pretty much the same, and that would be fine. If it stays stable, then the Fed can go to work on it.
Bill Dunkelberg, Dr. William Dunkelberg, thank you, Bill, for being here, for giving us a good report, and I'm looking forward to an exciting 2005, and we appreciate your participation in that.
Have a good holiday.
See you next time. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.